It's going to go into clinical trials in the third quarter.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are holding in Perek Tes of the Gvuras Hashem. And we've spent already a couple of sessions on this Perek Tes. What the Maral is dealing here is, so to speak, the punchline of, so why was it Nigzar? Why was it decreed upon the Jewish people that we should go into Golus? And the first phase, by and large, we dealt with the dismissal of the reasons which were given by others, separate from the reasons given by the Gemara, the Ramban's reason, the Abarbanel's reason, another reason, which the Maral had cautious on each of these reasons. We're not going to go over the questions on them again, but the Maral was basically headed, as we said, where the Maral wished to be headed, which was to say, why are we coming up with new reasons? Chazal were very, very wise. Chazal were very smart. And if you open up the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, Chazal give three reasons themselves. And look at that Gemara, and you'll understand it. So you have problems, you have questions, but go b'yared le'umkan shel dvarim, look into the depths of what Chazal said, what Chazal meant, and you will see the profound nature of what they're teaching about why the Jewish people went into Golus. And what the Maral did here as well, so was he went through so far two, and today, Mir Hashem, we will do a third iteration of understanding what these things were for. And then the Gemara gives three reasons. The first reason it gives is because Avram Avinu drafted Talmidei Chachamim to wage the war. The second reason the Gemara gives is because Avram Avinu asked Bamei Dakira Shena, he questioned how does he know he's going to have Eretz Yisrael. And the third is because Avram Avinu passed up the opportunity to bring Gerim into the fold. And how's that? Because when he had won the battle against the five kings, he had them all the inhabitants that he had rescued, the inhabitants of Stem and Amara that he had rescued, he had them all, and he neglected to bring them Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. He neglected to hold on to them, he released them, and he ended up ultimately, as we saw, losing them. They were destroyed in Sodom. So as a result, says the Gemara, that's again why he was punished. So the Maral went through two iterations. The first was as follows, that we know that the purpose of Golus Ugeula is to produce Emuna. You know, you find in the Psukim repeatedly when Hashem explains Gulas Mitzrayim, what he's doing, why he's bringing the Makos, and so on and so forth, it is in order that the nations should know. The nations should know that I am Hashem. The nations should know my power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Geula, is teaching his existence, is teaching Emunah in him. And therefore, says now, the truth is, essentially, it was necessary to teach Emunah. But there must have been something, some failure, some lack in the Emunah of Klal Yisrael, that this would, number one, be needed, and number two, that it could be pinned on, because this Golus Geula process comes with a cost. It hurts. So why does it happen? So explains the Maral that the three stages in the Gemara are three levels of a chesaron in emuna. The first was that he was frightened. He was frightened that he would be destroyed in the battle, and so he went and he made a quote unquote desperate hishtadlus, pulling out even the Talmidei Chachamim. So Avram Avinu was very afraid that he wouldn't be saved. And so he gathered all these forces in the battle. That is one level of a chesaron in emunah.
He should have done it himself?
Or he should have used only legitimate forces. You have to have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You don't have to have Talmidei Chachamim. You find whoever it is, you have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you make the legitimate ishtadlus and Hashem is going to take care of you. Right? To go to such an act of desperation to take those who wouldn't be considered legitimate participants in such a battle, that he did not want him to do.
The Maral's view on the Talmud.
No, it's the Gemara. It's the Gemara's view. It's not whether it applies to the Talwa or not. You know, if there was, you have to know the nuances. There's such a, clearly there's a genuine Talmud Chacham that's not, you're not supposed to do Angaria with. But that applies to entire families and entire communities is where the rub lies. But it certainly should be some, and it's wrong on both sides, it would seem. Those who don't have any exemption and those who spread the exemptions beyond. In terms of the pure Gemara, I'm not talking about people who have different policy considerations, but in terms of what the Gemara is speaking about. Shmuel went a step, so to speak, further or lighter, and he says no. Avraham Avinu was not afraid. It wasn't an issue that Avraham Avinu was afraid that he was going to be destroyed. To that he had faith. But as we've said and learned before already several times, the gift of Eretz Yisrael is more than that. It's a promise for a positive thing. It's not just salvation. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. And it's a privilege which, therefore, Avraham Avinu had serious questions about, as we learned before. Look, you may be committed to keep us around, but that we should be able to have this all the time. We won't sin and somehow perhaps forfeit the right and the privilege to be able to have this, to be able to have this gift of the Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Avraham Avinu's failure, so to speak, in Amunah was much more minor. He wasn't doubting the whole thing. He was just doubting the extent of privilege that would be granted to the Bnei Yisrael down the line. That's the second. And the third, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Avraham Avinu again was a maimon, and these issues were not really the considerations. What was the consideration, said Rabbi Yochanan, was that if Avraham Avinu's emunah was full enough and passionate enough, he would not have rested allowing anybody to go back to their lack of emunah. He would have taken those prisoners and he would have made sure that they were maminim, and he wouldn't have let them go back. It would be an emunah that would be infectious, that would be contagious, that would be activist, and therefore it was a little bit of a lack of commitment to the ideal of the emunah that Avraham Avinu was willing, so to speak, to let live the people of Sodom without their emunah, without forcing it upon them. We had a long discussion last week about what are you talking about. Avraham Avinu is the paradigm of one who loved Hashem and brought people tachas kanfei Hashchina. We explained why, specifically in this prisoner of war context, Avraham Avinu was more reticent to do so, because he was into inspiring people to faith, not forcing people to faith. But nevertheless, he is held to task, because again, as the way the Maral says it, if your faith in Hashem is so complete, so certain, you just can't let it go, that somebody will live without it. Sorry, any question?
How does that third point compare to the halacha? Shouldn't free slaves if you own them. That's different because then they become
yidden,
so I guess
maybe
that's not similar at all.
It's a din by Kenanim of Lo'olam Bohem, that they're supposed to remain your slaves, specifically applying to the Kenanim. And yes, it does relate to that, and really what we would say, again, the Maral's not talking about this here, but part of what Avraham Avinu was missing here was that, as we discussed a little bit last week, there are some people who won't go for the inspiration thing. They won't be able to be taught. They won't be able to be the now. Where did Kenan get cursed to be a slave? Kenan got cursed by Noah's children, right? So what happened was they went and humiliated and harmed Noah, and then Shem, he came and he told Shem, gloating, and Shem couldn't even speak to him. I mean, it was like a different language. He's gloating about this Avera, which he did, about the ridiculing of his father. So Shem recognizes that it's a terrible thing, and he turns to Yefes, and Yefes joins him. Yefes goes along with him. So Yefes is convincible, but Chum is incorrigible, and that's, Chum is Kenan. Kenan is the son of Chum, the one who is blamed evidently for this action, and it was there that Kenan was cursed to be a slave to his brothers. And the mitzvah in the Torah, Le'olam HaTaveru, continues with that. In other words, the idea is that there are some people and some situations, as we said, where you can't change, you have to instead manage. And Le'olam HaTaveru, this idea of subordinating them in slavery in the Jewish home, is a management tool.
That's what he should have done with the people from Sudan.
That's what he should have done with the people of Sudan. And they wouldn't have been destroyed. Specifically, I believe, only by Avodim Kenanim.
You don't have to kill them if they...
They're able to accept. Right. They were given options.
Did these seem to correspond to
Okay, I thought it was specifically that.
Because there's a lot about whether Tamar Falcon should be drafted, and second one, I guess, Halak Lamuna, and this is Halak.
Right.
I don't know if they're really the slaves at this point.
Let me ask a basic question, too. The Canaanite slaves, were they free during the Jubilee year? Or were they freed every 7th? No. You said forever. You meant
Canaanite slaves. Right. Only by a Jewish slave that the Levite wants. They could be freed, but you're not supposed to. Generally speaking, they weren't supposed to be freed.
Winning the war, he should have made them his slaves, and he does a chut. Why would
they were his slaves. They were POWs. They were his property after the war. Mamela.
So why did he do what he did?
So he said because he didn't want to force. What we learned was it was Abraham Lincoln. He was Abraham Avinu was into having people accept the Torah Beratzain, Geirus, Nedivei Amim, right? That's the term which is called Nedivei Amim Nesafu Am Elokei Avraham. The volunteers of the nations gathered, the nations of the God of Avram. Chazal say, because Avram was the paradigm for them. They were Nedivei Amim, because they chose to join. Not forced to join, and it didn't work. And that's what we explained last week, that that's why you understand how desperately Avraham Avinu was davening for Sudan. It wasn't just that he was compassionate about a nation or a city going under. These people would not be destroyed had Avraham Avinu kept them. It was because Avraham Avinu let them slip through his fingers that they became again the corrupt, terrible Sodom, and they were subject to destruction at this point in time. So it wasn't just Avraham Avinu's general responsibility for the world that was on display in that prayer. It was direct, personal responsibility for these people that he had let through his fingers. It would have been a whole different story. It makes the tefillah a whole different story, a whole different thing. Okay. So that was phase one, iteration number one. Iteration number two of the Maral was that, look, this is Shibut. So again, iteration number one was focused on the fact that this is an Emunah demonstration, and therefore we can presume that it came from some kind of failure in Emunah, and he tracked the three reasons of the Gemara as failures in Emunah. Iteration number two is that what resulted here was that the Jewish people were nishtabed, were subordinated under others, and therefore, why should the Jewish people be subordinated under others? That has to be a result of something which invites that subordination. And to that, the Gemara says three pshatim. The first pshat was that, you know, the truth is the Jewish people should be not subordinated to anything. The Jewish people are supposed to be the leaders, the tzura to the world's chaymer, the matter, the structure to the world's matter, the form to the world's matter. You know, with who they are. But instead, what ended up happening is we ended up being meshubad. Why? Because that's what Avraham Avinu did. Osan gaya b'talmidei chachamim is to draft talmidei chachamim in the service of something else. Talmidei chachamim are the das. They are the wisdom. They're the knowledge of the world. They're supposed to provide the direction of the world. They're not supposed to be meshubad to anything else. They are representing the seichel relative to the Jewish people, just like the Jewish people represent the Seichel relative to the world. And if Avraham Avinu subordinated the Das of the Talmidei Chachamim, then the measure for measure is that the Jewish people are subordinated as well. That's the first explanation, Rabbi Avo. The second explanation, Shmuel, is that the reason why they deserve to be subordinated was because of a lack of Emunah. When you have complete trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you are completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have the strength, as he explained before in an earlier chapter, that emunah means steadfast. Vahi yadav emunah. Emunah is firm, and as we embellished and discussed a little bit, when you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you consider your faith completely in his hands. Nothing else can touch you. Nothing else can affect you. When the emunah wavers, then the person weakens, and the person is then subject to subordination. That's the second reasoning which he gave, and the Maral has a big arichus here, a lengthy discussion about emunah and dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how emunah is different than das, than something a person thinks of himself. He explains in this way the greatness of one who answers amen rather than the one who makes the bracha himself. The one who makes the bracha himself, is thinking and developing himself. The one who says amen is sort of relying and just accepting. Mitzad Hashem Yisbarach leMitzad Datai. And that's where emunah, that's the strength of emunah, and again the Maral darshens on this extensively. And the third thing which he says, making them right to subordination, is in a certain sense the easiest. Why? He let the enemies slip through his fingers. And what happens when you do that? As Hashem warned Moshe Rabbeinu, when they come to Canaan, they have to make sure that all the inhabitants are taken care of, because those who you leave over, they will be a thorn in your sides. They will poke you in the eye. They will be a problem. When Avraham Avinu was reticent about imposing himself on the others, it came back to haunt him that the others would overtake him. That's the third explanation. That's the third piece. So in other words, all of these things were actions which invited problems. Actions which invited shibud. Actions which either weakened the Jewish people's standing or strengthened the standing of the opposite.
Where was he reticent? By Stone again? Or?
Same thing. He's saying pshat in the three pshatim in the Gemara. The third pshat in the Gemara is that by Stone he let them go. Here he's explaining it not because of a lack of enthusiasm to spread the word of Hashem, but because of just, he was letting the enemy be. He was letting the enemy be. And I was again he didn't bring them tachas kanfei Hashchina. But the aspect here, according to this pshat, is not because of some failure in Avram's power of emunah that he didn't try to bring them around, but because he allowed evil to exist, and because it would exist, it would come back to harm him. Yeah. I don't know if we would call it carelessness. Again, what Avraham Avinu did, he did with a calculation, he did with a cheshbon, like we were suggesting before, the basis for his calculation, but he didn't recognize the threat which leaving such a thing around would ultimately pose. Yeah.
It might be too off topic, I don't know, but it's very interesting because he's saying that by drafting the Chachamim, that causes basically a consequence of that is Golas. It's very interesting because Hanukkah is really almost the opposite story, where the by the Tamil Chachamim drafting themselves, so to speak, that let them out of that part of the Golas. I mean,
there is a great uniqueness in the story of Hanukkah, of the Kohanim being the ones to actually wage war. And it requires explanation, understanding. They weren't drafted. They initiated, which is already a bigger thing, because Angaya means that the king drafts him to his work. And the idea behind it, we're not going to speak about it at length, the idea behind it is that it was a battle for purity. It wasn't primarily a battle for conquest. And we have an example, which Emir Tashem we will read in the Torah in several weeks, in Parshas Pinchas, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nekayim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'ez ha-midyonim. Take a battle of revenge against the Midyanim. And over there, what happened? They took 1,000 soldiers from each Shevet, including Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi normally didn't fight in battles of conquest. They played this role of being the Talmidei Chachamim, who were not supposed to be drafted by the people for such service, and they didn't fight for property. But however, in this battle they fought. And the reason why in this battle they fought was because it wasn't a battle for conquest, it wasn't a battle of kings, it was a battle for purity. was a battle because of what the Midianim had done to violate the purity of the Jewish people. So it was, excuse the expression, a holy war. And for that, the Levium fight, and they're not fighting in the service of anybody other than Hashem. And that is what happened by the Chashmonaim. And there are all kinds of hints to it, but we know that that's fundamentally that which it was, Tmeim Biyat Tahirim. And that was the battle, and that's why it was led by the Kohanim. And that's the pshat, exactly the point which you're making, related to the point which you're making, is how we find in the Rishonim, like the Ramban, that explains that what went wrong, why did the Chashmonaim end up actually becoming a very terrible failure ultimately. The story of Hanukkah was their great success, but ultimately Kol Ha'emer Midibes Chashmonaim Ana Avdahu. Right, we say the Chashmonaim were wiped out significantly because they then became kings after the battle. They became kings, and they weren't supposed to be kings. Why weren't they supposed to be kings? Because they're the portion of Hashem. As Ramban brings from the Yerushalmi, it's not just what would be true that it's only supposed to be a king from Yehuda, right? Which would mean that even if this was Zevulun, it would be a problem. But there's an additional problem because the Kohanim are not supposed to be in politics. The Kohanim are not supposed to be Malachim, because you know that's part of this distinction. So the point you make is a good one. Okay. So that's the first two phases of the morale, and again, I'm going to go over every aspect, especially of the morale's extensive discussion of the nature of Emuna and its connection to strength and relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not being overtaken. But let us now look at what the morale brings as the third pshat, which he considers to be the ultimate clincher of a pshat. Okay, and I'm going to read to you a little bit of his introductory words about it. It's more esoteric and conceptual than what we've discussed to this point. Ulman teida ki divrei chachamim hem emes, v'asher hisbaru al divreihem ein bohem mamish. He says, in order that I can demonstrate to you that what Chazal said in the Gemara is true, and those who hisbaru al divreihem, I think there must be some kind of a typo here, but it means those who attacked the words of the Chachamim are insubstantial. Hine avar lecha kol divreim v'teide lehavin pninius divreim shem divrei chachama amukam oid. I want to tell you more, or everything that they say, so you can understand the inner meaning of what they're saying, which is a very profoundly deep wisdom. And he says, you'll know that what I'm telling you is absolutely true, and we will win over keneged atayanim, those who would argue against us. He says, we could say our first reasoning that we said till now and it would be pretty good. But I want to tell you the real truth. And then nobody has anything more possibly to say. And so he views this really as the clincher. And it's interesting because it's going to be the hardest for us to explain. But what he's doing is he's really going a level deeper. These reasonings which we gave till now were much more of a simple, straightforward rationale. Yes, seeing the depth of the Gemara, but he's going to do now something which is taking it to another level. And he says, Da, ki hayu divrei chachamim ki divrei Torah kol b'tzir ha-sichli, kasher roi lechachamim, v'lei ki divrei machshava. He says, what Chazal, when they speak here in the Gemara, what they're doing is like with Divrei Torah, they're drawing really a strong conceptual base, a tzir ha-sichli, an image of the seichel, not stam a thought, an explanation. And therefore, he says, when they give a reason for the punishment to the descendants of Avram, who see basichlis sherei lefi tzir ha-sichli sheyezer Avram begolus, it's a really significant conceptual reason. So he goes back to something which we've discussed a couple of times already, that it makes sense that if there's a problem in Avram, who is the shoresh, who is the root, so that problem will be seen in his branches, in his offspring. And that's really this whole pursuit in the Gemara of finding the chet, finding the problem in Avram to explain to explain it. And he goes on to say, but note that there are two kinds of chatoim, there are two kinds of sins. Again, like we discussed before when we spoke about korbanos, there's sins which are mikri la'adam, which a person happens to do, and there are sins which are atzmi la'adam, sins which are more inherent, real issues that the person has internally. And he says, in a certain sense, you have to understand that a significant act that we would see as more happened that the person did is easier to dismiss and easier to wipe away than a minor thing that's more embedded in the personality. Right? It's much easier to try to clean up an action than to change something which is internal, which is an inherent, so to speak, flaw or issue. And so says the Maral, that's the way we have to start looking at this and see the chait b'sheresh. And there's a chisaron b'sheresh, there's a chisaron in the root which is Avram. And why is there a chisaron in the root which is Avram? So the Maral here does not turn to speak about Avram Avinu had this character flaw or that character flaw in the conventional sense. He speaks here about a character flaw which would necessarily be the case, which is built in, which Avram Avinu almost had no choice but to have. And that was because Avram Avinu was the first. Avram Avinu was not building on the accomplishments or the foundations of those who came before him. Avram Avinu, right, he left his land, his birthplace, his father's house. He was considered, in a certain sense, like a katan shenayled, like a newborn child. We refer to Avram Avinu as our first Av. Yes, there are occasional, perhaps, allusions, references to our Zayde Terach, right, to our great-grandfather Terach, but very limited. And as we discussed earlier in the Maral, where the Maral discusses Avram Avinu leaving home and not doing the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, and the Torah is hiding it, and the Maral's understanding of that was not because of worry or embarrassment or political correctness, but because Avram Avinu, when he left his father's house, he left Yichus. He left his past. Like a conversion, which to a certain degree is to start from the beginning. And therefore, Avram Avinu was the Echad. He was one. And one as a source doesn't work unless that one is the one above. Only from the Echad that is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is there possible to be a completeness. In a human being, you cannot have one that holds it all. In a human being, you cannot have one that holds it all. Let me just pause for a second. Make a very important adjustment. In a human being, in anything other than the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you can't have one that encompasses everything. Avraham Avinu was Echad. He was one. He was one and only. But from Avraham Avinu, we would not eventually have Shlemus. So there are different ways we can approach this. We'll start with what the Maral will speak about, but part of this outline, which is the following. We say that we have three Avos. In Avos Elos Shloisha, we have the three Avos: Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And when we speak about the structure of the three Avos, we speak about it as follows. There is Avram on one side, let's say the right side of Chesed, and Yitzchak on the other side, let's say the left side of Gevurah, of Din, and then Yaakov Avinu, who is Tiferes or Emes, which is the harmonization of these two extremes, of the Chesed of Avram and the Gevurah of Yitzchak. And in a certain sense, Yaakov is Echad, Yaakov is one, because what the third is in the middle, and it brings together the two that are on the opposite ends.
That was the default. It was meant to be Yaakov and Esau. Esau messed up, so it went into Yaakov. So
Well, let's leave that aside for now. What we have in result is that Yaakovin was the third to bring it together. And he is the Kisei Shel Shelesh Ragayim, right? If you have a chair with two legs, it doesn't stand. The third leg, right, properly positioned, if the third leg is on a corner, it also won't work. But when the third leg is sort of that, you know, the tripod, you know, in the middle somewhere between the two of them, then it balances it and it makes it able to stand. So the third is not just a third in a row, a third in a line, but the third stands between the two in order to some degree to harmonize it. When you look at it in the sphera diagrams of the Mekubalim, it's pictured exactly like that. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. Tiferes is in the middle. Chesed is on the right, Gevura is on the left, and Tiferes is between them and below them, as somehow the pointer where the two of them come together. And that's why the third is really the Ma'ached. The third is what brings together those two from the outside. And in one, in the extremes, you will always have incompletion. So the Gemara says, for instance, that Avram Avinu, he was the first to try to undo the Zuamas HaNochash, the corruption of man, so from the sin of Adam HaRishon. But Avram Avinu didn't have it perfect. Because Avram Avinu didn't have it perfect, we find that he had a child, Yishmael. Don't blame her on Hagar. It's because Avram Avinu was imperfect. Yitzchak was also yet imperfect. That's why he had a child, Esav. But Yaakov was Kule Zera Emes. Right? Yaakov Avinu, all of his children remained within the Jewish people. Because at that point, there was something which could be called Echad, which could be called a one source by the human being, but it was a one that had to be made up of separate parts. The finite nature of a human being is such. Now, Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, wasn't that way. Adam HaRishon was one person and had the potential to be the father of everything. The father of everything. However, that was because Adam HaRishon was created b'dmusa k'tzalma. He was mamish in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And therefore, he was created in the divine image, as the verse says. And therefore, as such, Adam was able to be a similar one to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in a sense in the world. But even with Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very concerned. And therefore, what did he do? He made Adam HaRishon actually two. Adam and Chava, right? Lest Adam think that he's the one that will be able to, you know, that's equal to the one of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. However, down the line, the reconstruction requires pieces. When HaKadosh, Adam is the name of humankind as an individual in Gan Eden, and then as the world as a whole, as Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem, that after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the charge of being Tzelem Elokim, of being in the divine image, of having all of the perfection of Hashem, was not left to one person. It requires the totality of the world to be able to put it together, or the totality of Klal Yisrael to be able to put it together. And in a certain, more limited sense, it required the three Avos to replace Adam HaRishon. Well, again, you Sarah plays a role, because Sarah was also Gevura to Avram Avinu's Chesed, and you know that does happen to some degree, but it evidently needed more staging, and it needed more of the Avos in order to be able to do it, and the idea that is because a chod that can produce everything is an echad hashalem, is a one which is complete. And you can't find everything complete in one. The nature of the material world is that it is ribuy, that it is pieces, that there are sections. You look at a table and you have this part and that part. Whereas in the world of the spirit, everything is one, everything is unified. But to the extent that we are human beings that reside in this world, there are pieces. And so there are those who will excel in this, and there are those who will excel in that. And to strengthen it, you have to build this, but then I can't build something else, right? The pitcher is going to be a lousy hitter, right? unless the game goes into 17 innings, right? But otherwise, right, you can't, right, because the pitcher is going to be completely focused on pitching, right, and he's not going to be able to do anything, he's not going to be able to do anything else. He can't do batting practice, right? The one who has to create and to develop Midas HaChesed back into the world is not focusing on Din. And the one who's going to create and develop the Midas HaDin is not going to focus on Chesed. When the foundations are built, you come to Yaakov and you have the third who can build on what Avraham Avinu developed and what Yitzhak developed, and Yaakov Avinu was the one to create the harmony, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know, I always say this is such a real thing, this Gemara. It's such a real thing, because when you have someone who in their life will be, excuse the expression, an extremist, but it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, some extremist from the 6 o'clock news, but when they are very focused on a single dimension of life or a single dimension of Yiddishkeit or whatever it is, it's almost inevitable that you will find that they're going to have no shrim, they're going to have children or whatever it is, or students that will fall away. Why? Because not everyone in the world can identify with this single thing. Right? So they could not identify properly with the Chesed of Avraham, and they couldn't identify properly with the Gvura of Yitzchak. But when you have a balanced situation where the person recognizes this and recognizes that and strengthens this piece and strengthens that piece, then it's possible for Mitasei Shleima that everyone will find their place, because there aren't the extremes, there's the taking the bit of this and the bit of that and putting it together. So Avraham Avinu, this is the concept of the Maral, because Avraham Avinu was the first, because he was Echad, there was an inherent flaw in that. There was an inherent flaw in that.
Wasn't it corrected though by Yaakov? You're implying that it is. It's Mitzvah Shleima.
Yes. Yes. Ultimately, it would be corrected by Yaakov Avinu, that Mitzvah Shleima, and that would be what Klal Yisrael would ultimately be able to stand on. But now we have to look here at how the Maral is going to plug this in to the Gemara and the three explanations which the Gemara give. But Avraham Avinu for himself has this limitation, and as the Sheresh of Klal Yisrael, it will play itself out to some degree in Golus Mitzray. Yes. Yes. He's the Sheresh of harmony. Yaakov Avinu's Mida is a combination of initiation and combination of what's there before. That in itself is an initiation.
You see also the failure, because Avraham Avinu had other Geirim and they fell away, and the only ones that landed up being true in Monei Hashem were the
it could be that that's a manifestation of this. It could be it's something else. It could be. Now, as a note, this is a notion which we've seen in the Maral before, and specifically, relevantly in Yana de Yuma, to the time of year that we're up to when we learn in the Tiferes, the Maral uses this notion to explain what the Gemara says, that one of the sages used to say, Brich Rachmana, blessed is Hashem, the Yav that he gave, Uriyam Klisa, a Torah that's three parts, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, the three sections of Scripture. La'ama Klisa, to a nation of three parts. Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim. B'yarcha Klisa, in the third month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. So what's the thing? What's this, we're the nation of the Trinity? I thought somebody else was that. Right? But the idea is that, says the Maral, because it is this idea of taking the various parts and being able to bring them together to make the new one, which is the one that is within the physical world, that requires always Klisa. That requires this triplicate in order to be able to make it happen. Okay.
Tershim Kui.
What's that?
Say Tershim Kui.
I don't know what that is.
Third one, right?
Okay, that's the idea what she's speaking about. What's the term again?
Tertian quid.
Okay.
Tertian.
Yeah, that much I got. quid I thought was like a kind of a worm. just
quid
kidding.
Means
just kidding. What?
Quid means that.
Okay. Okay, as in quid pro quo or whatever. Okay, I'll have to learn Latin one day. Okay. So the Maral says, you know, the first is the beginning, the second is the end. Right? Let's picture our stool, right? The second leg is on the opposite end. Right? That's the way it works. You go from one extreme, person builds this side, the other one builds the next side, and then you create the harmony. The third is the ma'ache. The third is the tertium quid, the great middle unifier, in order to bring together the two extremes. And that's the chesed of Avram, the din of Yitzchak, which is a polar opposite, and the emes of Yaakov, which is supposed to bring it away, because emes is not suffering from matters of extreme, and he ends up with everything together. Okay. So he says, however, so even though we have, right, this is to what you were addressing before, so why doesn't Yaakov cure it? He says, even though the Avos were Gimel, were three Avos, and in a certain sense we're a product of all three, but on the other hand, we're all also Be'ikar, the children of Avram. Avram started it all. And to support this notion, which we could just imagine rationally, but to support this notion, the Maral cites what Rashi brings in Chumash, where V'eschol u'gagodol v'avarecha v'agad l'shemecha v'yei bracha. There's Elikei Avraham that we say, there's Elikei Yitzchak that we say, and there's Elikei Yaakov that we say. Says Rashi, quotes what Chazal say, the Gemara, I would think that they would be Chaisman B'kulon. I would say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Nope! We only end with Magen Avraham. I mean, we wouldn't say Magen Yitzchak, there's reason why I say Magen Avraham, but I would say, Baruch Ata Hashem, something, Elikei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, or Avos. No, it's only Avraham. Because in a certain sense, of course, Avram is the Sherish HaKol. Avram is the beginning of it all. Right? Avram may have been like a newborn child, but Yitzchak was not like a newborn child. Yitzchak was Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Hailid as Yitzchak. And Yaakov could speak of the God of his father and the God of his grandfather. Right? Avram Avinu is the beginning. And therefore, for to some degree, while we view ourselves as having these three roots, because one would be insufficient, these three legs that we stand on, these three pillars, these Gimel Amudei Olam, but in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu is the original basic pillar of them all. And therefore, here what we're looking for in the Gemara is, because to some degree we're so dependent on Avram as the beginning of it all, so the flaw, which necessarily there's going to be flaws in Avram, have to still be ironed out. Beyond Yitzchak and Yaakov coming and adding their complementary things, there's still something that has to be worked out.
Why did David say shield rather than shemesh? Why is it?
Because the term Magen Avram comes from a pasuk where Hashem told Avram, you know, in fact, in this very section that we're studying, Anochi Magen Lach, I am your shield. Don't worry, Avram, I will protect you. I will care for you. And Chazal see that it was in this communication that this bracha was conceived. That was when the Bris, the covenant, was fully or more fully established. Okay. So says the Maral, now when you think about this, and this is again, this is inherent to the condition of Avram Avinu, is that he's the Rishon, he's the first. And as the Rishon, his tendency would be to see himself on top, and on top of everything. And so he says, "Ad shayareita liyis reish umeisha al talmidei chachamim liyis meisha aleim beinian zeh laseis angarim." Avram Avinu was not bifchinas talmid chacham. Further, our discussion over here, tayrasay umnasay. Avram Avinu was not tayrasay umnasay. His tayra wasn't his craft. That was left to a great degree for Yaakov Avinu. But Avram Avinu, as the head of it all, said, the Talmid Chachamim should somehow be exempt from me grafting them into the service. I'm the beginning of the whole thing. So again, that's a flaw. A flaw that's there as the Rishon, as the Rishon, which would be the source of everything, one would see itself triumphing over everything, but there's a humility that has to be there in the Rishon relative to its incompleteness. And part of that completeness, of course, is going to come from the Talmud Chacham. And the Talmud Chacham is not supposed to have anything on top of him. But because Avraham Avinu, as the Rishon, rightfully saw himself as the beginning, as the root of everything, so he figured that this would be an expression of that, an application of that, but wrong, incorrect. It's not supposed to be. It's not rightfully a proper extension of that. So that's one. Shmuel says, "Bamo eda ki roshana." How do I know that I will keep it? Says the Maral, so the first one was Avram's problem as the Rishon. As the Rishon, he thought he would be above everything. The second he views as being a problem of a lack of Midas Hadin. What Avraham Avinu had was Chesed. What he was completely removed from, in a sense, was the opposite extreme of Midas Hadin. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, says the Maral, that's the ultimate Midas Hadin. If Hashem says, this is what's going to be, then that's Din. Avraham Avinu says, how do I know? Because Avraham Avinu is more in the realm of doing things that one chooses to do rather than it's necessarily so. Right? That's a certain sense of difference between chesed and din. Chesed can come, chesed can go. Now one could spin this in different ways. You could say farkert, din, if you deserve it, yes, if you don't deserve it, not. Right? And Hashem's response to Avraham Avinu, when he said, no, I'm going to take care of it, in a certain sense is Magen Avram is, in a certain sense, introducing the assurance of Chesed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you deserve it or not. I'm going to give it to you, and we've discussed that before. But here, the Maral is pointing to this pun, to this face of it, to this aspect of it, that Hashem says it, that becomes din. That is din. What Hashem speaks from is from Midas Hadin, and for Avram to start quibbling and questioning what Hashem is saying is because of Avraham Avinu's distance from Midas Hadin. Rav Yechanan said, the problem is not Avraham Avinu's Rishain. The problem isn't Avraham Avinu's lack of Sheini. The problem is Avraham Avinu's lack of Shlishi. Because what's the Shlishi? The Shlishi is Yaakov Avinu. And what is it about Yaakov Avinu? What did we say before? In Yaakov Avinu's MS, everybody's included. In Yaakov Avinu, there's no fall-off. There's no drop-off. And what was the third chet of Avraham Avinu? Was that there was drop-off. Not everybody would be included in the world of Avraham Avinu. And case in point, he passed up the Sodomites. He hifriz milachnes gerim tachas kanfei ashchina. So the Maral considers this to the Maral as his third iteration, his third explanation of the three stages of the Gemara. And what he's seeing is this is not like the first one, which was, look, Golus is about establishing Amunah, so let's see how these three are aspects of failures in Amunah. Or the second one, which is Golus means inherent weakness, subordination of the nation, let's see how these three things would invite subordination of the nation to others. Now he's taken a step back, much more conceptual. Now you understand what he said in his introduction. It's much more conceptual to who Avram was, to how the structure of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov has to be created in the Jewish people, and what each piece adds. And that's where the chesaron is. That's what always has to be built and developed, to harmonize the components, to bring together the extremes, the different things. So says the Maral, so that's these three pieces of the Gemara. And again, I'll explain, he'll follow through one more time on this in his last paragraph. All three opinions here in the Gemara were saying one thing, which is Avraham Avinu did not have every aspect of perfection. So all three opinions look at this foundation stone, the Evan Pina, the cornerstone of the Jewish people, and each one explains some lack in that root, inherent lack in that root, that would be visible ultimately in the branches. Rabbi Avol was Mashai Sangar Del Chamini. She was a Nira Yaiser Rishon, Shibishvil Yishib Abanov, Gamkin Shasan Gari Babanov. And he adds this elegant touch. We explained before the chet was Avram Avinu figured he's the Rishon, he's on top of everything, of everyone that came from him, even the Talmid HaChachamim. So he says Rabbi Avol chose this pshat because what's on Garia is to draft for the work of the king of one on top of you. What ended up happening to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim was that they were drafted into the service of Paro. So he considered that a punishment that fit this sort of crime. Shmuel said Bamoeida, as we said, when Hashem makes a declaration, it's Midas Hadin, and Avram Avinu said, who says? So what ends up happening? What comes to visit the Jewish people, says the Maral? Midas Hadin. To be enslaved, to be afflicted, is Midas Hadin, is judgment, containment, subordination. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it was this, of them not bringing people tachas kanfei Ashchina, that because it was lacking the Yaakov, because it was lacking the harmony, there was those who would be outside of the presence of Hashem. And says Rabbi Yochanan, that's what the Jewish people suffered. Because when we were under Paro, we were avdei Paro v'loi avdei Hashem. We were not beneath Hashem. And the result in the end would be, of course, to heal that and to turn that around. And that was to bring them tachas kanfei Ashchina. V'lokachti eschem li la'am. This is more or less the picture, the way the Maral draws it. He adds elements, he adds points, of course, as always, but this is sort of the way he completes the picture, his third iteration of the Gemara, which he says, so do me a favor, why look for other reasons? The Gemara, in its profundity, is explaining the structure and the basis and the causes for Golus Mitzrayim. Don't need to look any further, just have to look deeper.
Very interesting that Avram would give up on Sidon of all people, because they were very much removed from Chesed. I mean, that was possible that he was right, that they would never have been able to connect with him.
Correct. Yes.
The absolute
removal from Chesed. Shali, Shali, V'shalach, Shalach. And that's what Din is supposed to determine. Determine what's mine versus what's yours. Yeah.
Also, it's still very interesting because, yes, Avram Avinu had this flaw, it's almost like inherent, almost nothing could have done about it. But you would still say that by having Yitzchak and then by having Yaakov, that alone should have been, if anything, it could have made sense to put Yaakov Avinu in slavery. Because, you know, Avram Avinu, we could have, you know, if it's Avram Avinu, then once you already have Yitzchak and Yaakov, presumably that flaw has already been corrected. So what needs you then have to further correct it when it's been corrected, right?
Again, that's how the Maral explained it. I'm going to tell you the words, and I think we can understand it a bit, but I don't know that we can fully grasp it. It's a subtle thing, but as Maral said, in a certain sense, even after there's Yitzchak and Yaakov, we still, to some degree, identify ourselves as the children purely of Avram. In other words, that Yitzchak and Yaakov influence is clearly there. But in a certain sense, after all said and done, we still consider ourselves as B'nai Avraham, right? Avraham Avinu, Magen Avraham, that thing. After, like everyone said, I would think you Chais Mebekulam. No, there's still a unique place of our Avraham. So to the extent that we still attribute ourselves to purely Avraham, so then there are some things that we still have to iron out.
There are nothing.
The minus Yitzchak Yaakov things. What?
Yitzchak and Yaakov are still nothing. Avraham is going to show it.
They're avos, so they're not just anafim. They're sharashi type anafim.
The sharash really, does he consider the avos sharashim?
Everybody considers all the avos to be sharashim, but Avraham Avinu is the sharash shavakulam. He's the main sharash, and therefore we have to deal with the ramifications of Avraham and the consequences of Avraham all the way.
The mimer that Solomon was when he said the mas Ada.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a turn in his din because they didn't accept it like this. That's the way it is. So did you say that, and then in Triumph it was like Paro was sort of din, like
right. Shiva was din, that's what he said. Okay, very good. You have a good morning. Good to Vach.
I have a question for you. I suppose the embassy of Schlanger is there.